We're going to go to God's Word in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I preached on this passage when my dear mother-in-law went to be with the Lord a few years ago. And we'll read the first part of this chapter, and then we are considering the question number 86 from the larger catechism. And if you have a smaller or the shorter catechism there, it's number 38. But we're going to read God's Word. Let us consider the Scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 8, and we trust that the Lord will bless this brief reading from His holy word. It was a special privilege for me to preach both my father-in-law and my mother-in-law's funerals, as well as my own mother and father. But you know, this tabernacle that we have, it's very interesting what the Apostle Paul calls this by the Spirit of God, this tabernacle of flesh that we live in. This is going to be dissolved one day for those that pass on before the Lord Jesus Christ comes. We pray each day for His coming, but we don't know exactly when that will be. But you know, it was a wonderful thing to realize that our Savior, we're told in John chapter 1 and verse 14, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That is the same word for tabernacle. He pitched His tent here so that when our tabernacle dissolves, those who believe on Him, to be absent from this body is to be present with Him where He is. Now we're going to read, like I said, if you have the shorter catechism there, you can turn to number 38, and that is what we are considering, especially what benefits do believers receive. Let's see here. Number 37. And if you have the larger catechism, we're going to read number 86, and we'll get right on into the Scriptures. Number 86, if you have it, say it with me. What is the communion in glory with Christ which the members of the invisible church enjoy immediately after death? The communion in glory with Christ which the members of the invisible church enjoy immediately after death is in that their souls are then made perfect in holiness and received into the highest heavens, where they behold the face of God in light and glory, waiting for the full redemption of their bodies, which even in death continue united to Christ and rest in their graves as in their beds till at the last day they be again united to their souls. Whereas the souls of the wicked are at their death cast into hell, where they remain in torments and utter darkness, and their bodies kept in their graves as in their prisons till the resurrection and judgment of the great day. That's a rather long answer to that, but we are thinking about our communion with Christ immediately after death. We go to be with the Lord as believers. And what is this communion with Christ? It is our fellowship with Him. It is our sharing glory with Him. And it's immediately after death. Now that word immediate, you got to think about that. Because immediate, mediation is the word that we have regarding our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who goes between us and the Father. The only mediator between God and men is the Lord Jesus Christ. But see, this is immediate. There is nothing between the death of the believer. We are immediately with the Lord. All right. Now, I want you to look there. What we are reading here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and down in verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. It is an immediate thing. There's nothing between. As soon as we die, we enter into the conscious enjoyment of Him and all that God has for us in that state of spiritual perfection. Now, if you turn with me back to Hebrews chapter 12 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 12, very important scripture. Chapter 12 of Hebrews in verse 18. If you remember, the Apostle Paul is making a contrast here with the difference in two mountains, Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. And what a blessing it is, we read in verse 18 of Hebrews chapter 12, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." Moses was receiving the law up on Mount Sinai. There was thunder. There was lightning. And it was smoking because the presence of God was so near to that mountaintop that the very elements were melting and on fire. And the Lord tells us we are not come to Mount Sinai. What are we come to? Look there at verse 22. "But ye are come unto Mount Zion." And how do we get to Mount Zion? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what we are come to. "You are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." He lifts us up above the earth here. He said, look what you are come to. This is yours as believers to enjoy. "To the heavenly Jerusalem and to an innumerable company of angels." When we read in the book of Revelation about the beasts that are around the throne, that word beast is actually living ones. It is the Greek word for the beast is where we get our word for zoology. These are living beings, these angels. They're not some kind of animals that are around the throne, but innumerable company of angels. And look what else we're coming to. We're coming to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And you know what I always say there? I always say just the spirits of the justified perfected, because it's not only men, it's also women who are believers. And it looks like it's just men in heaven. No, it's not just men. It's justified men and women who are made perfect. And to Jesus, where is he now? He's right there. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, is there. And what else is there? The blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The blood of Jesus did not go down into the ground and decay and dissolve into the elements here on earth. The blood of Jesus is there. And the blood of Jesus is not only there, the blood of Jesus is actively doing something. What does it say here it's doing? That blood is speaking better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood was crying out for the judgment and vengeance of God upon his murderous brother Cain. But the blood of Jesus is speaking better things. What does the blood of Jesus speak in heaven? The forgiveness of believing sinners. That's what that blood speaks. So we have come, the reason I came to this passage was to get to the spirits of just men made perfect. The spirits of the justified are perfected. Immediately, when we are in the presence of God, when we die, we are made perfect. Because you know in Revelation, the book of Revelation 21, chapter 21, verse 27 tells us that into that holy eternal city, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Even an immaterial soul or spirit entering in that's not made perfect could not enter. So you see, immediately upon the death of the believer, we are made perfect in the sight of God. No more sin, no more temptation, not even an impulse toward anything that's wrong, because the spirits of the justified are perfected there with him now. I was thinking about my parents and my wife's parents. And we were singing that song of Fanny Crosby earlier about our loved ones there. But she said, I want to see my Savior first of all, because he's the very reason for his people being there. Otherwise, we would all be lost and we'd all be undone. Well, praise God for this immediate perfection. Now, this is another reason why at the day of judgment, I cannot fathom any negative matters brought up against those who are already perfect in holiness. What could be brought up? Because when our bodies rise from the grave, when we have our spirits and our bodies, our souls joined together again, those bodies are going to be perfect, just like the Spirit's perfect. So what can there be negative to be brought up before the throne of God? We read in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation. There's no judgment against them which are in Christ Jesus. There's not now, nor will there ever be for the child of God. Now, what are we going to do there? We read here what we read in the Scriptures. We will immediately after death be there in perfect holiness in the highest heavens and behold the face of God in light and glory. We're going to see Him. We read that a while ago at the beginning of the service in 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now that's going to be the most amazing thing, to see the Lord as He is. We have all kinds of people who have ideas of what the Savior looked like, but they're only ideas because none of the artists know what the Lord Jesus Christ looked like. There's an indication in the Old Testament that He had dark hair, like black as a raven, but not as you see Him painted so often in these idolatrous pictures, that He's looks like some German or European. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12, we read these words: "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." What a blessing to see Him face to face. Well, that's going to be our greatest joy of heaven, is being with Him. Now you think, well, I want to see my loved ones that I've loved so much on earth, and they're gone there now. But we're going to be so taken up with the Lord Jesus Christ that that's not going to be the first thing. We're just going to be amazed at looking at Him and worshiping Him and enjoying Him forever. Now, this seeing and being with our Savior will be our greatest joy. Yet there's coming another day that's going to be a very joyous day also. Because what does the apostle tell us in Hebrews? That it's the spirits of the just that are made perfect there now, those who have entered. But there's coming a day when the bodies are going to rise from the grave, and they're not going to be like they are now. You have any pains? You have any sicknesses? You have any troubles with your body? Well, there won't be any sickness, any aches, any pains, any suffering. It'll all be perfect. There won't be any death. Those bodies will never die once they're raised from the grave and they're made like unto His glorified body. And we'll be with Him. And what a day that will be, to be there and be a perfect spirit and enjoying Him is one thing. But then to have the body joined with the spirit and the soul to enjoy Him forever. And when's that going to be? At the last day when Christ comes again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know it well, don't you? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." Now, what is sleeping in Jesus? If you look over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you'll see it's not their souls that are sleeping. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Present with the Lord is not talking about sleep. It's that body that's resting in the grave. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse 15. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent." Now, that doesn't mean stop them. That means we're not going to be going before them which are asleep. Those that have died in Jesus, whose bodies have been put under the earth in the grave, it tells us in verse 16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ," those who have died that are in Christ, "shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." And those are words of comfort in a world of so much wickedness and disappointment. There is something to look forward to. Marvelous future for the believer. So, there's no sleeping for the souls of God's people. The false teaching of soul sleep is contrary to the Scriptures. What did the Apostle Paul say in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23? He said, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." He said, I'm ready to depart and be with them. I'm not ready to depart and go to sleep for 1,000 or 2,000 years. No. Ready to go and be with them now, which is far better. Now, and so it is here to be absent from the body, as we've read in 2 Corinthians, is to be present with the Lord. So that does away with the false teaching of soul sleep. And then our bodies, which even in death continue united to Christ. Now, isn't that amazing? Our bodies, even though they are in the grave, are still His concern and still united to Him, even when they've dissolved into dust. Our bodies, even in death, continue united to Christ. As this answer says, it's exactly what the Scripture says. He's our head. We are members of His body. He is joined to our real humanity. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30 says, we are members of His flesh and of His bones. Can you understand that? I believe that, even though I cannot comprehend it and take it in. Christ has come from eternal glory into this world and taken to Himself a true body and a reasonable soul when He was by the Holy Ghost conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And when He was born, He had flesh, the likeness of sinful flesh. Not sinful flesh, but the likeness of our sinful flesh. Real flesh, real bones, real blood, real body. And we are joined to Him. That is the most amazing thing. And even in the grave, we are still joined to Him. He guards our dust, and He's going to raise our dust. Not only does this doctrine refute the heresy of soul sleep, it also refutes the heresy of purgatory. You know, the Roman Catholic myth, which denies the sufficiency of Christ's blood and denies that the sacrifice of Christ was enough to take away all our sin. Their mythological idea that people have got to be locked away in a compartment for thousands and thousands of years to finally get purified enough to go into heaven. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the blood of Jesus Christ doesn't cleanse us from some sin or a few sins. It cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. Well, believers' souls and spirits are immediately in glory with Christ as soon as we pass from this world. But lost souls are immediately in hell. As this Catechism tells us, as the Bible tells us, in Luke chapter 16, verses 22 and 23, the rich man died, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. What an awful reality. Therefore, prayers for the dead are useless. Don't waste your time praying for the dead. They say masses for the dead over there on Spring Avenue. They have all kinds of money going into that program of saying masses for the dead and praying for the dead, but it's not going to help anybody. Those that are in heaven, the saints are perfect. They don't need those prayers. And those in hell can't be helped. It's too late. How foolish and how wicked is the practice of praying for the dead. We need to be praying for those that are alive. We can pray for the living. We can't pray for the dead. And how foolish and wicked it is for those who practice spiritism, thinking that they can talk to the dead. The book of Leviticus chapter 19 tells us how foolish that is. These people who say they're mediums and that they can get you in contact with the dead. Well, look what God says about it over in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Don't try to contact the dead. It's a devilish thing. Chapter 20 of Leviticus and verse 27. Listen to what God says about those who want to try to contact the dead. The last verse in chapter 20 of Leviticus. A man also or a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that is a demon, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. God says those who want to deal in the occult with these evil spirits or even pretend to, he said this, the sentence he gives is capital punishment. Well, what about cremation? It may be cheaper than the burial of the body, but its roots are in paganism. That paganism that denies the resurrection of the body. Paganism looks on a dead body as worthless material that needs to be destroyed as quickly and as completely as possible. It's becoming more popular in America because paganism is on the rise. But understand this. There's no soul sleep, there's no purgatory, and there's no hope for those who leave this life and perish. There's no second chance given. And that's why it's so important to make sure that you know the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're in Him, that you're trusting in Him alone for salvation now. While we're living, there's hope. But after death, there is no hope. Well, we're going to pray. Let us pray together. O God, our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy truth. And we praise Thee that Thy Word gives us the facts, that these modern ideas, these devilish ideas, there's nothing to them. Lord, we praise Thee that Thou art the living God. And we pray that Thou wilt take Thy Word and emblazon it on our hearts. We pray that everyone here may trust the Lord Jesus Christ and rely upon Him alone, His blood and His righteousness for salvation. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt continue with us for Jesus' sake. Amen.